The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. We're off and running on another week of broadcasting here on KPCG. And the live stream, of course, is available at kpcg.fm. Also, at the trumpet.com website, there's an article today on the website about the new Austrian leader, Sebastian Kurz. We didn't spend any time discussing that with you on the couple of programs that I had last week. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But first, I want to introduce the subject by referring you back to a trumpet brief that my father wrote on Thursday. And this is a subject, of course, that we have discussed going back to some of the programs before the Feast of Tabernacles about the political earthquake in Germany. And my father reminded us in that trumpet brief from last Thursday that that election back in September, that it really did rock the main political parties in Germany, particularly the more traditional conservative parties. And of course, as my father brought out in that that piece, the more and more crises we see, the more you're going to see the German people calling upon a strong leader, a strong man. My father has a booklet, by the way. A strong German leader is imminent. You can read that at thetrumpet.com if you haven't already, or request a free copy. But we're seeing, I mean, the stage is being set for this Daniel 8 man to come along. He explained in that trumpet brief how that we've been, for years, we've been watching Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg as an individual that could possibly fill that prophesied position. And, of course, before his plagiarism scandal, I think that was back in 2011, he was the most popular politician in Germany. And so when you see him making his triumphant return, as we saw in the lead up to the elections in September, I mean, that's something to take note of. My father talked about some of the campaigning that he was doing in the lead up to the election, campaigning for Angela Merkel, the long speeches that he'd give without notes, and the strong criticism and rebuke that he had for the president of the United States, Donald Trump, even calling him a madman. I mean, this is someone that won the election in the United States by accumulating more than 60 million votes. And yet here is a German politician with such strong words of rebuke, not only for one man, but obviously, like my father brings out in the trumpet brief, really for all of America. It's stunning when you think of it. Back in 2010, I think my father quoted this in the trumpet brief, just talking about what we've been saying all along. It's from thetrumpet.com, an article that's 7 years old. It says, if you're unaware of the legacy of Edmund Stoiber and Franz Joseph Strauss, read The Grand Design. In short, Strauss and his protege Stoiber envisioned a future in which Germany would emerge as the leader of a federal European superstate, one powerful enough to compete with the United States. It says today Strauss is long dead and Stoiber is on the fringes of German politics for now. But, this is what we wrote in 2010, but Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg is carrying Strauss's torch. And he is one of the most influential politicians in Germany. Now, he's making a comeback, as we've covered on this program. And one of the points that my father made in that trumpet brief, you can expect the relationship between Germany and the United States to become quite strained in the months and years ahead. And my father in that trumpet brief said that we're already seeing the signs of that. Just look at the way Mr. Gutenberg speaks of the United States, in particular President Trump. It says here, listening to, this is my father's trumpet brief from last week, listening to Mr. Gutenberg and the way people are responding to him, I have to say that it looks like the relationship between the U.S. and Germany is already dead. It's already splitting apart. He says here, prophecy tells us in detail just what this strongman is going to do. It also says that he can't even imagine the damage that he'll wreak on America. But at a certain point, his mind is going to change. His mind is going to change. We talked about that some on Friday's program. There was the article in Politico last week. I referred to this on Friday. The article saying that it's time for Germany to overcome its Nazi past and to join the EU defense, to lead the military, in other words. It's time for Germany to step out of that Nazi shadow and to take the lead militarily. And as I covered with you on Friday, I mean, when you see that charismatic leader coming in by flatteries, just as the Bible prophesies, well, it might all look good on the surface. It all might seem like just a police force, just a peace force. But what happens when the mind changes, as my father brings out in that trumpet brief? Habakkuk 1, verses 6 and 11, verse 11 in particular. Then shall his mind change. Then shall the mind change. I mean, they're going to be doing things that they never would have imagined doing. And that's because of the God of this world. Revelation 12 and 2 Corinthians 4. You can look up those passages later. But on Friday's show, I also went through Isaiah 10. Here again, this ties right in with Habakkuk 1. God sends the Assyrians against a hypocritical nation. And it says in Isaiah 10 and verse 7, howbeit he means not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. See, if you went to some of the leaders in Europe today and you said to them, look, you're building a war machine that is about to cut off nations, they'd probably laugh at your face. laugh at you right in your face. I mean, they all believe, and you've seen some of the, it's not just the German elections that are beginning to shake Europe at the foundation. We'll talk more about the Austrian elections in just a second. But my father in that trumpet brief from Thursday, he talked about how that the mind changed to some degree, how that it's already happening. Or he said, perhaps to some degree it's already happening. Again, look at some of the language from Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg in the lead up to the elections in September. Look at some of the strong rhetoric. You see it in the German press as well. The anti-American rhetoric. Where is this leading? God says that even though it's not in their present plans to destroy, that is nevertheless what will happen because of the mind change. My father says here in the trumpet brief, a turning point in German politics. Well, that's the title of the piece. He says that zu Gutenberg is talking like a man who has ambitions to rule Europe. In some ways, he talks like a man who already leads Europe. And so he's pointed out before how that the empire pretty well is there. And as we cover at thetrumpet.com today, I mean, you're beginning to see some of the kings, the potential kings in this 10-nation conglomerate. They're beginning to come forward. But of course, we've got to watch Germany most especially, because Germany's going to be the one that takes the lead. Just as so many people and commentators and politicians and world leaders are urging Germany to do. Watch Germany, my father said on Thursday. I believe we're seeing more than just dislike for one man in the White House. He says, finally, there is evidence of a desire for revenge. Well, that brings to mind some fairly recent history. World Wars I and II. When Germany took a beating. And everyone thinks it's over. Everyone thinks we've all moved on. Everyone thinks that we're now in a very modern age. And that we could never see a world war again. He says in his trumpet brief, you wouldn't think human beings would think that way. But if you understand biblical prophecy, you know that there's an evil spirit being involved who can inspire some very ugly emotions. And the Bible is clear that America's German lovers are going to betray America. And so we wait for the Daniel 8 man. We wait for the strong man. Now, again, referring to another piece at Politico, they've had some pretty good articles of late. The one last week, or at least revealing articles. The one last week calling for Germany to take the lead. And then this one here, this is just from yesterday. Germany needs its own Sebastian Kurz. So here's this young, charismatic conservative that's taken Austria by storm. And Politico's now saying, you know, this is the kind of leader Germany needs. How about that? Austria's election is a stark reminder for German conservatives of how to win elections. How are they going to win? They have to move right. They have to go more conservative. Look at what happened in the recent elections in Germany with Angela Merkel's party taking a hit. And the AfD, the far-right party, gaining such a large percentage of the vote, gaining seats in parliament for the first time ever. It says here in this Politico piece, Germany's conservatives are watching Sebastian Kurz closely. For some in the center-right, the 31-year-old Austrian politician's rise to the chancellorship offers a blueprint for revival. It says, for years, German Chancellor Angela Merkel brushed off accusations that the party has left its right flank exposed. She did so again after September's election, when her conservative alliance lost close to 10 percentage points and handed the far-right Alternative for Germany a ticket to the national parliament. It says here, the election's biggest winners were parties that offered a more attractive conservative profile. Sebastian Kurz's election win in Vienna last week hammered that point home. I mean, we're going to have to swing more to the conservative side. We're going to have to swing more to the right if we're going to begin to win elections. Otherwise, we're going to keep losing seats. So where is this leading? German politicians are taking note. They see what happened in September in their own nation. They see what's happening in Austria. It says here, Sebastian Kurz's election hammered that point home. I read that. It says further, on the same day that his Austrian People's Party clinched victory in the federal election, the CDU suffered a major defeat in a key German regional election in Lower Saxony, finishing 3 percentage points behind the Social Democrats. And so the so-called conservatives, really the more moderate conservatives in Germany, they keep taking a beating at the polls. And it's groups like the AfD that are winning more and more from the conservative wing. It says Merkel's conservative detractors are forming a new faction around outgoing finance minister Wolfgang Schäuble's, his deputy. Well, it lists a bunch of it. It says under their growing influence, German politics could soon look very much like Austria's. Up until a few years ago, German politics was defined by a very weak Social Democratic Party that was bound to the CDU, CSU, in a grand coalition With no major opposition player in sight, Merkel's administrative, unemotional style of governance was popular among voters. Things changed with the migration crisis. Here again, we've been right on top of this, telling you where this is leading, telling you where this is headed. I mean, for a time, it was fine to play the middle, to be the moderates, to appeal to both sides. But now everything's changing, and it's changing dramatically just in the last 2 years with the migration crisis in particular. But there's other crises as well that they're having to deal with in Europe. That's brought out in that Trumpet.com piece today, Austria's new king. I'll come to that in the next segment. But it says here, just to finish this political piece, now with the SPD in opposition and the AfD newly installed in parliament, Merkel's likely new coalition, the so-called Jamaica coalition with the Liberals and the Greens, will face heavy attacks from both left and right. Now, we talked before we left for the Feast of Tabernacles just how challenging this is going to be for Ms. Merkel to put together this so-called Jamaica coalition. This political piece says, with Eurozone and immigration reforms at the top of the agenda, the debate will be polarized and the idea of national identity will be front and center. And then further on, it says this is where things get tricky for Europe. Germany is not Austria or the Netherlands. It's the Eurozone's strongest economy and French President Emmanuel Macron's most important political partner in his efforts to reform the EU. Well, that kind of skipped ahead to a slightly different point to be made. But just going back to even the headline for this political piece, how that Germany needs its own Sebastian Kurz. Here he's the youngest leader in the world now. I think he's 31 years of age, very charismatic. And as the Trumpet.com points out today, also one that's grabbed quite a lot of power in Austria. And now he's got the popular support. And he's popular in Europe as well. And German politicians are taking note. Particularly those in Merkel's party and the sister party in Bavaria, Gutenberg's party, who see how many votes that they're losing because of the AfD and other far-right parties. It's just happening little by little. That's what we'll get into in the next segment. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, talked about how that this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, when it's finally on the scene, I mean, there's going to be a suddenness to it that's going to shock the world. But it's not going to shock those who are students of Bible prophecy, who've been reading our material, like the strong man's coming, who've been listening to this program or watching my father's television program, The Key of David, because it's happening little by little. These are earth-shaking events, what happened in Germany politically in September, and then now again in Austria, just the following month. When we come back, we'll look further at this piece we posted at our own website this morning, Austria's New King. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Herbert W. Armstrong described Germany's devastating destruction in 1944 and 1945 as one of the worst beatings ever administered to any nation. Western leaders from both sides of the Atlantic assured our peoples that a demoralized Germany would never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. But while Washington and London were promising that German militarism would never again be able to strike, Herbert Armstrong was warning the world of one final resurrection of a German-led Holy Roman Empire. Only a very few listened. Mr. Armstrong said German industry and the German people's willpower and determination to work, produce, and organize was the very heart and lifeblood of all Europe.
The nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it.
He said the prostrate body of Europe could not come back without the leadership of a revived and vigorous Germany.
and the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire. The thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
The world is witnessing history repeat itself one more time. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire for more on this important subject.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Gradually and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
When it finally comes into full being, as he said there, the world will stand aghast. But it's not so gradual anymore. It's coming together faster and faster. We're seeing the leaders come forward. And there's more than one. That's really the point that Josue Mitchells brings out in his piece at thetrumpet.com today. Of course, the focus has to be on the Daniel 8 man. Of course, the focus needs to be on the German leader. But what's happened next door to Germany is also quite significant, particularly when you understand what the Bible says about the 10 kings. Austria's new king, that's the title of Josue's piece. It says here, Austria's October 15th election, so that was last week, last Sunday, provided further proof of the far right's growing presence in Europe. It was also proof that Europeans seek change, especially when it comes to immigration. Austria's election also showed that more and more Europeans are willing to embrace unconventional leaders. Sebastian Kurz is not a normal politician, and the manner in which he is taking control of Austria shows that these are not normal times. Josue brings out how that this man has grabbed a considerable amount of power, and he comes from the far right. Or at least he's more conservative than some of those so-called conservative parties in Germany. It says here, unlike in Germany, Austria's far right has been well established in parliament for decades. So here's one difference between the two. But now we see the AfD moving right into the German parliament. Josue says that the refugee crisis has just given the far right more momentum in Austria. It's the same story in Germany. It's just coming to bear a little bit later. But it's following the same course. It says when he became party leader, 31-year-old Kurz knew that his party needed to be revamped and that it was going to win, it needed to shift to the right. See, that's what they're learning in Germany, in Merkel's party, in Gutenberg's party, that if they're going to win, they've got to shift further to the right. And so, as Josue brings out, Kurz began to present himself as the solution to the refugee crisis. Who's taking note of this, besides just the members of those conservative parties in Germany? You can be sure that Zu Gutenberg's watching all this as well. Josue says both of these men share striking similarities in how they connect with the people. Prior to the election, Gutenberg proclaimed his favor for a Kurz victory. Both believe in the necessity of reforming the European Union to prepare it for the times ahead, a stronger cooperation with countries in Eastern Europe, a digital revolution, and more. Some pretty striking similarities. It talks later in this article about how Kurz is also compared at times to the French president, Emmanuel Macron. And how that these up-and-coming younger leaders I mean, they've got some big, bold plans for Europe. They have a revolutionary vision for the future of Europe. And, of course, as we've been saying all along, Europe is about to be, I mean, dramatically transformed. And these crises, whether it's the Eurozone crisis or the refugee crisis, I mean, there's a new brand of leaders. They're ready to tackle these problems and to do some reforming, some refashioning. You can look into your Bible and see how that this is going to play out. You can look into the Bible and see what will emerge out of these crises. It's in Revelation 17. It's in Daniel 2 as well, but Revelation 17, notice what this says, verse 12. It says, "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." It says, regarding these 10 kings, verse 13, it says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." And so here are 10 kings who give their power to the beast. Now we know the instrumental role that the Catholic Church is going to have in this union. It says at the start of Revelation 17 that the woman straddles the beast. But you notice there that the 10 kings give their power to the beast, to Germany. They give their power over to the strong man. But these 10 are fairly strong themselves. And the question that Joshua asks in his article is, could Sebastian Kurz be one of those 10 kings prophesied there in Revelation 17? Listen to what Mr. Armstrong had to say about these 10. This is clip 2.
10 nations, the Bible prophecy says, are going to unite in Europe, and they will be probably more powerful than either the Soviet Union or the United States. When all the nations of Europe get together, there will be 10 of them.
So 10 nations he draws attention to, obviously relying upon this passage in Daniel 2, this passage that we just read in Revelation 17. 10 horns, 10 kings, or 10 toes, if you put the image in Daniel 2 together with this, meaning there will be 10 heads of state. 10 heads of state in Europe joining together for this, as it says there, 1 hour with the beast. Notice further how Mr. Armstrong describes these 10 in this next clip. This is clip 3.
There will be about 375 million people in the population in this resurrected Roman Empire in the territory of the old Roman Empire in Europe. About 375 million people. The 17th chapter of the book of Revelation shows it will be a combination of 10 dictatorships in Europe going together. 10 governments or nations in Europe consolidating in the United States of Europe. I don't know whether they'll call it the Roman Empire or not, but that's what it will be.
That's what it will be. It's the seventh and final resurrection. And he says there that there's 10 dictatorships. So 10 dictators. 10 kings that come to power, that grab hold of power, that seize control. And then those 10, they give their power over to the beast. And there's a real unity there. Even though it's taken a lot for them to come together. Daniel 2, we'll get into that in a little bit, but Daniel 2 talks about it being a mixture of iron and clay. It's a real challenge to bring these 10 together. But the crises are helping to bring this about. These prophecies are accelerating now because of these many crises. 10 dictatorships in this next clip. I think this might be, well, it is from an old radio program, but it's a little bit of a longer explanation of these 10 that come together. Clip 4.
Now, and the 10 horns that were on this beast, there were 10 horns on this beast, they are 10 kings. 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Therefore, they are dictators, and that's only 1 hour, a very, very short time, because this is only going to continue a short space when it comes. Now, mark this, that after this resurrection of the Roman Empire, by 10 dictatorships or by 10 nations over there in the general territory of Europe and around the Mediterranean of the ancient Roman Empire, it is coming again to life according to this prophecy, and it's only going to last a very short time when it does. Now, how's it going to come to its end? Listen, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That's military power unto the beast. Now, not to the woman that wrote it, but to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, that's Christ, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
So that's what this prophecy leads right into. I mean, we're at the point of the seventh and final resurrection. And it leads right into the image behind that image in Daniel 2. It leads right into the return of Jesus Christ, the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And so that's what we watch for. That's why we watch for this. These 10 powerful kings, these 10 dictators, it's going to be short-lived, but they're going to be right in that same general territory out of which emerged the Holy Roman Empire of the past. Switching back to Josué's piece, this is at thetrumpet.com today. The title of his article is Austria's New King. Look for it. Look for it there, featured at thetrumpet.com today. He says here, as we watch the rise of that superstate in Europe, we also need to keep an eye on the 10 kings who will rule over these 10 nations or groups of nations. The Bible reveals in Revelation 17 that they rise as individual heads of state, but at one moment they will unite and give their power to one overarching leader. So that's why it's significant to watch these other elections as well. He mentions Kurz, but also Macron in France. Kurz and Macron have a vision that could unite East and West Europe, as well as North and South. But just as Mr. Armstrong saw from the Bible that these kings would be rising, he also saw that it would take more than a common vision to unite them. It would also take a common crisis. And so it says here, finally, the refugee and Euro crises will lead up to that ultimate common crisis, but they won't be sufficient to trigger the king's unification. An even bigger crisis is looming, the collapse of the American dollar. So the worldwide economic collapse or economic crisis, that will ultimately be the catalyst that brings the 10 together. But we could be seeing the beginning stages of these kings emerging. That's the thing. You've got Sebastian Kurz. You've got Emmanuel Macron in France. Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg is waiting in the wings. We can't say that we know for sure who these 10 specific kings will be, but you can be sure that they will emerge. And going back to what Herbert Armstrong said so many decades ago, I mean, it's astounding to consider even what's happened already. He had a coworker letter from 1980 where he talked about the Iron Curtain falling and how that East Europe was going to come back into Europe's orbit, out of communism and into Europe. He said in 1980, this is long before the wall went down, that Yugoslavia would probably be in that revived Roman Empire. He suggested that Poland would be part of it, Romania, Hungary. And then you add the staple nations from the West, like Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Austria. He mentioned Austria in 1980 as well. And then he even got into some specifics of those nations that probably wouldn't be a part of it in the end. Holland, Denmark, Norway, Sweden. Certainly not Britain. He said that in 1980. He specifically said Britain would not be a part of it. Well, that's now happening. Brexit. Britain's on the way out. There was another article. This is not from Herbert Armstrong himself, but it was in The Plain Truth in 1981. The Plain Truth, of course, being the flagship magazine or publication of the Worldwide Church of God. And this article here, it's by Gene Hogberg. It talks about the 10 kings. It references Revelation 17 and verse 12. These 10 kings, it talks about Daniel 2, the 10 toes. And it says, referring to those 10 toes, it says, note that the toes, obviously 10, correspond to the 10 national units of Revelation 17. It says the original Roman Empire was broken into two legs, the Eastern Empire in Byzantium, later Constantinople, and the empire in the West, in Rome. Thus, it is very possible that the restored end-time system will be composed of two distinct yet cooperative parts. So, East and West. It says further on, what's transpiring in Poland today is the first concrete step in the refashioning of Western, Central, and much of Eastern Europe into a new arrangement. And then notice what he says here, Mr. Hogberg, about Austria. It says, significantly, Mr. Armstrong mentions Austria as one of the nations to watch. Austria is a neutral nation on the eastern flank of non-communist Europe. Even today, it acts as the bridge between East and West Europe. But in a reconstituted Roman Empire, Austria, with its renowned capital, Vienna, the seat of authority for the Holy Roman Empire for hundreds of years, would be in the very center of things. Yes, indeed. I mean, we're talking about the seat of the Holy Roman Empire for centuries. And in 1981, it might have appeared to be kind of on the outer edge of this forming empire. But now, I mean, it's right in the middle. It's right in the thick of it. The center of things, as it says in that article. It says here, kept on display in the old imperial palace, that's the Hofburg Palace in Vienna, is the crown of the Holy Roman Empire, dating back to the time of Otto the Great in the 10th century. It seems to be waiting for one final emplacement. It's just sitting there, all those jewels, that crown. It says, perhaps for a reason, a massive governmental complex has recently been completed along the banks of the Danube River in Vienna, called UN City. I mean, this is, again, from 1981. I didn't have time to look into the status of that structure today. In any event, it says, the restored Roman system will radically change big power relations. That's what we're seeing, some pretty dramatic restructuring of the order in Europe. Now, my father's had quite a lot to say in recent years about the significance of Austria and Vienna in particular. In fact, he gave a message at PYC just this past summer, our youth camp, that is. He talked this past summer about where Hitler really received his inspiration. I mean, his God, of course, was the devil. But he talked about, my father has written before, this is, I forget the exact booklet, but I have some quotes here from some of his writings where he talked about just how Vienna was a turning point for a young Adolf Hitler. And Hitler himself wrote about this. He wrote, I mean, he talked about his time in Vienna as a young man. He said this in Mein Kampf. This was the time in which the greatest change I was ever to experience took place in me. He says, from a feeble cosmopolite, I had turned into a fanatical anti-Semite. I mean, this is where he really became a fanatical Jew hater. It happened in Vienna. Let me just play a couple of clips for you. My father's Key of David program. This first one from 2010 on the crown of the Holy Roman Empire. This is clip 5.
Adolf Hitler, even from a child, was, I think we could say, obsessed by that crown of the Holy Roman Empire. And just before World War II, when he annexed Austria to the Third Reich, he brought that crown from Vienna into Nuremberg, Germany, and blatantly declared and proclaimed to the world that it would remain there forever. Now, why was he so concerned about that crown of the Holy Roman Empire?
He was concerned about it because he was resurrecting that empire. That was the sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And so Hitler wanted that crown. He annexed Austria. He brought that crown to Germany. I mean, this is history. You really just don't even hear about this except coming from God's church. As my father explained in that PYC message, the modern historians, they revise a lot of this history. They say that Hitler really turned into who he became in Munich, that it happened in Germany, it happened in Bavaria. In fact, it was Vienna. And the reason, of course, Satan's trying to blot that out or revise that history is because he's trying to erase the history of what the Holy Roman Empire has really been responsible for. Look at what the historians have said about Otto the Great or Charlemagne. My father had another program. I think this one's from 2000 and, this second one here is from the same show from 2010. Here's clip 6.
Well, in Vienna, Hitler came to believe that God had replaced the Jews with the Germans and the Holy Roman Empire. He believed the Germans were God's chosen people. This is why the crown jewels of that empire meant so much to him.
I think that's my father there quoting from one of the booklets that we've put together on this. Then finally here, one last clip. This brings us to 2015 from my father's program, A Strong German Leader is Imminent, clip 7.
So when Hitler, I'll just paraphrase this, but Hitler went into Austria and just took control of it, and the Western world just let it happen and didn't do anything about it, and he went to Vienna and got the insignia of the First Reich, that is Charlemagne, the imperial crown and all of the other jewels and all of that, and he took them back to Germany and said that they were going to remain there forever. But, of course, Hitler lost, and that didn't happen, and they're back in Austria, but still it's there for the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire when it begins to assert its power, and it's going to be pared down from 28 nations to 10 nations, God says, and is going to wreak havoc in this world in many ways.
That's from my father's program back in 2015. A Strong German Leader is Imminent. We have a booklet going by the same name. If you haven't studied that yet, go to thetrumpet.com and get that booklet and learn this history. Commit it to memory. Historians, as I say, they want to ignore this truth. They want to blot this out. They don't want you thinking about Vienna and those crown jewels of the Holy Roman Empire. They don't want you thinking about a seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. But those that are honest, even in Europe, as we've noted in our literature, I mean, they come right out and say, look, that's the heritage by which we live. This is what we're trying to resurrect. My father said in that youth camp message that if historians or any of us, if we ignore the Holy Roman Empire and this history and what we see repeating, if we ignore it, then we're going to end up being victims of that very empire. This is history we've got to be grounded in, because it truly is going to impact every nation on this earth. this crown, these jewels, this history, this empire, this church-state union. Well, as I noted a little bit earlier, and you can see it in Revelation 17, and it's also quite clear there in Daniel 2. Well, when we come back, we'll look finally then at Daniel 2 and see what this leads right into. It's right there in the same prophecies that talk about what this beast power is about to do to this earth. Within those same prophecies, you see the solution to the problems that we see with man, ruling man. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Let's just conclude by going through this prophecy in Daniel 2. I mentioned it in the previous segment. It's the companion passage to that that prophecy in Revelation 17, or at least parts of it. Perfectly fit with what's described in John's book, the book of Revelation. Here in Daniel 2 and verse 40, it says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." So here is referred to, or here the prophecy refers to the Roman Empire. And if you look at the history, the Romans attained world domination around the time of 30 BC, ruled for about 500 years or so, and then it was finally crushed in AD 476. But since that time, again, I don't have time to get into all these prophecies, but since that time, there have been seven resurrections of what historians even have referred to as the Holy Roman Empire, this church-state union. Notice what it says, verse 41, "And whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." So the kingdom in many ways is, I mean, there's a lot of division there. There's a lot of differences. But this is talking about the 10 toes in particular. It's talking about 10 contemporaneous kings. 10 kings, just like in Revelation 17, 12. And this too, it describes it here. It's going to be short-lived. But while it lasts, that's the thing. It's going to have that strength of iron. This is talking about the United States of Europe. These 10 dictatorships that come together 1 hour with the beast. This is the power in Europe that will be wreaking havoc, as my father said, right up until the return of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be a 15 or 20 year empire. It's going to last just for a couple years, 2 to 3 years, Mr. Armstrong would say. Here's what he said in his booklet, Are We in the Last Days? Mr. Armstrong writes, "We are now looking for the 10th and last resurrection of the Roman Empire, the seventh head of this beast of the 17th chapter of Revelation, which is also pictured by the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel 2. Since these toes were on the 2 feet that represented Eastern and Western Europe, there is a strong likelihood that this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire will include Iron Curtain nations of Eastern Europe, as well as nations in Western Europe." I mean, this is something that he just wrote. He wrote it routinely decades ago. And now we see so much of it's already been prophesied, or rather fulfilled. So many of these prophecies have already been fulfilled, or they're right on the way. Some of these strong kings now appear to be coming right into view. He says, "Finally, they will form a third gigantic world power, probably as great or even greater than the USSR or the United States of America." That was written, obviously, before the USSR collapsed. Let's finish here in Daniel 2. Notice verse 43. It says, "And as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage." This is the Revised Standard Version. "But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay." See, it's prophesied to have this sort of fractious, divided nature. But then when the ten give their power over to the beast, that's when we need to look out. That's when our work will be concluded. And then it comes into the return of Christ. Verse 44 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. In the days of these kings," or like Lang's commentary says, "while these kings are still reigning, then here's what happens. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom." As Mr. Armstrong wrote in his booklet, these 10 toes of Daniel 2 will be destroyed by Christ at the second coming and will be replaced by the world-ruling government of the kingdom of God, with Jesus Christ at its head and all the resurrected saints also ruling under Christ. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program or send feedback or send us some articles, quite a few people do that as well, newsworthy articles worthy of coverage on this show, you can send those emails to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.